How are we doing? It's good to see you. So I want to start out because tomorrow is Veterans Day. So if you are a vet or currently serving in our armed forces, we ask you to please stand up so we can thank you at this time. Thank you so much for your service, for our country, and for us. I mean, it's just an amazing thing to think that we're here in this room. If it wasn't for your service and so many other men and women, we wouldn't have this. You know, I really want to thank our elders. You know, I am so grateful for their leadership. We can thank them. You know, the last 15 weeks have been incredible. And if it wasn't for these classes, our sin would not be exposed. And without our sin being exposed, we would not change. That's the reality. And some of these were hard teachings. Some of them were a little uncomfortable. We had time on midweek to be able to ask them questions. And I'm so grateful for that. It's definitely helped me a lot over the last 15 weeks. I was telling Steve on Friday, I was like, bro, I wish you would continue to do the series. We thank them for putting all those classes together. So go ahead and open up your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. As you can see, the title of my lesson today is Living in True Repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. When Jesus started his ministry, you can read about it in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. He says, repent! For the kingdom of heaven is near. The first words out of Jesus' mouth was repent. We see with John the Baptist, before Jesus ever came about, before his ministry started, John was out there preaching and he's telling people to repent. We see Peter in Acts chapter 2. And what does he tell the people? Repent. You know, repentance and the word repent is not a bad word. It's a great word. It's a gift from our God. It gives us the opportunity to change, to be different. It means you don't have to stay in the place that you're in. It means you can change. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. Because if Jesus and his men are saying repent, that means we can do it. Like I said, we've been exposed by these lessons. Repentance will not happen until we face it ourselves or someone else points it out. So my question to you today is, where is your faith? Is your faith slow? Is it sluggish? Or is your faith quick? And are you ready to change? Are you ready to take the battlefield? Repentance. The biblical word is metanoia. That's the Greek, metanoia. And meta means after or change. We know the word for metamorphosis. It's a change. And noia is our mind or our worldview, the way that we think. Paranoia, there's words that we know. It's your outlook. It's the way you see things and view them. So the word literally means, metanoia literally means mind change. It's a complete 180. It's a change. You know, when growing up, I have two sisters. I'm the middle kid. And my younger sister was one of those picky eaters. You know, it's like, hey, try this. And she takes like a toothpick and like puts it on her tongue. Eh, I don't like it. And I don't know why she did that. I was a kid. I liked Brussels sprouts. So maybe one time I told her, hey, try these. These are awesome. And she didn't like them. But anyways, we were all eating ice cream, and my sister's never had ice cream at this point. And we're like, try it, it's so good. She's like, uh-uh, I'm not trying it. I don't want it. And of course, after minutes of begging her, she tried some. And from this day, every time ice cream is out, she will eat it. This is a great example of repentance. Her mind completely changed. It was a 180. She was like, uh-uh, I'm not having ice cream. I don't want it. to I love this. This is delicious. I can't wait. That is how you and I need to be about our sin. And not just the big sins, but also things that we're like, well, that's not a big deal. That's just pride. I guess he always struggles with it. Or I'm always going to be prideful. We need to have a complete 180. We need to go from loving our sin to hating it. So we'll see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 10. It says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you? What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves, what indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. So this is 2 Corinthians. Paul previously wrote a letter to the church, and there were some difficult things in that letter. And Paul is telling them, look what happened from me exposing your sin and talking about it. He said it led to repentance, which leads to salvation. And right here we see the fruit of godly sorrow. We see the fruit of repentance. There's many, many words here, and I want to talk about a couple of these. One of them that he talks about is indignation. And you just can't lightly say that word. You know, like, yeah, I'm indignant. No, you're indignant. You're angry. It means to have irritation or vexation. When Nathan talked to King David about sleeping with Bathsheba and killing one of his friends, he told a story of a man who killed a lamb. And David replied, he said, this man must die. And Nathan said, you are that man. Indignation is that what David said. That man must die. When is the last time that you just got fed up and angry about your sin? You said, this will change. No longer will I do this. You hate it. When's the last time that has happened? If the last time was right before you became a Christian, you have a lot of change to do. Another word that is used here is alarm or fear or terror. That's what it means. You're terrified of what has just been exposed about your heart or your character or the sin that you are in. You know, to be honest, some of these classes really scared me. One of the very first one, just talking about an overview of what we're going to be talking about, how the world influences us, I got scared. Because I was like, there's so much that I think about and that I believe that is from the world. It scared me. I was like, what else do I not know? What else am I not seeing? What else is going on in my life? What else do I believe that is biblical that actually isn't? It scared me. Talking about the men's role and the husband's role, it scared me because I wasn't there. I wasn't doing it. There was alarm. I was ready to change. Another one that we see here is concern, or some translations translate it as zeal. You know, it's an excitement of the mind. It's the fierceness of indignation. It's saying, no matter what happens, this will change. I will be different. I will repent. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how uncomfortable I will be, no matter what I have to give up, this will change today. You know, when I was a competitive runner, my tradition was before every race, I would run the course. I would get there several hours early, and about an hour before the race began, I would run the course. And while I was running the course, I would visualize what would happen. I would visualize the turns. I would visualize me falling. I would visualize me being passed by a lot of people. I would visualize my legs hurting, my heart burning, my lungs can't get enough air. I would visualize the pain that I was going to go through. I would visualize just terrible things, me passing out at the finish line. And then I would say to myself, I will win this race. I will beat every single person in this race. Because I am determined that if I fall, I will get up. That when my lungs are burning, I will push through. When my body says no, I will say, you will do it, and you will do it now. This is how we need to be about change, about repentance. Hopefully from these classes, you have visualized and you have prayed about what you will need to do in order to change. If you have not, take time to prepare your mind for what you will have to do to repent. If it's impurity, what that means. If it's pride, what that means. If it's you're not leading your family as a man, what that means. Visualize it. Prepare your mind and say, no matter what happens, I will change. I will be different. That is what we see in the Bible. That is what repentance is. And we're going to look at John the Baptist here. Go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 3. So John the Baptist was a rough dude. We know that he lived in the desert and ate locusts and honey. That's pretty rough. And he did not hold back when he preached. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 7. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What should we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "The man with two tunics should share with the one who has none, and the one who has food should do the same." Tax collectors also came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do?" "Don't collect any more money than you are required to," he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, "And what should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay." John laid it out. I don't know about you, but if I was in the wilderness and crowds were coming to me to hear me preach, I'd be pretty fired up. And I would say, "Welcome." But John the Baptist called them brood of vipers. Because he knew what they were thinking. And he points it out right in the beginning. He says, "Do not even begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" He knew that's what their comfort zone was. "Well, we're good. Abraham's my father. We're in there." He is telling them, "So what? Who cares? It doesn't change anything." So the question is, what is your security blanket? Is it, "Well, I've been a disciple for 20 years. Who cares? If you're not in repentance, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, I grew up going to church my whole life. From birth. Who cares? Big deal. That doesn't change a thing. Well, I haven't missed a day of reading my Bible or praying." If you're not repenting, what is the point? If you're not producing fruit in repentance, there is no point in that. Take away those security blankets. You know, I don't know what you think about Judgment Day. God is not going to sit there and you're going to say, "Well, God, my elders for 15 weeks, they taught on all these different stuff. Don't you remember? I took notes and I prayed about it." God's going to say, "Where was the change? What did you change? What is different in your life?" Take away the security blankets. You know, a lot of us wouldn't say that. But your lives show it. You're not changing. You're staying the same. You know, there's a saying, knowledge is power. The correct saying is applied knowledge is power. I don't care what you know. I care about what you do with what you know. You know, speaking about myself, I am paid by the church. I am on staff. But that does not matter if I am not repenting. What does that change? The axe is already at the root of the trees. If we're not producing fruit, we will be cut down. And notice it's not a past. He's not talking about, well, if you did repent. He's like in repentance, keeping with repentance, meaning current and active today, not the past. So take away the security blanket. We all know what it takes to repent. And John the Baptist was here. He was facing people. He's like, come on, guys, this is not difficult. If you have extra food and clothing, give it away to those who don't. If you're stealing, stop stealing. It's simple. Just stop it. That's it. What is keeping you from being the husband and leader that God has called you? What is stopping you from being that? What is your little security blanket? What is stopping you from changing? What is holding you back from having indignation about your sin? Saying, this will change today. And if you're out there and you're thinking, is he talking to me? I am talking to you. It is time to be different. You know, there's this story of a guy. His friend found out that he was stealing some money from his work. So his friend asked him, he's like, man, have you been stealing money? He's like, yeah, I have been. He's like, okay, well, how much have you stolen? To be honest, I really don't know. He's like, well, you think it's about $1,500? He's like, yeah, it's probably close to that. And so the guy said, all right, I got an idea. This is what we're going to do. So this next year, don't steal any more than $1,000. All right? And then the year after that, don't steal any more than $500. And we'll keep doing that until you won't be stealing anymore. And then if your boss or someone catches you, just tell them, hey, man, I'm working on it. You know, we laugh because that's ridiculous. If you're stealing and you get caught, you don't steal. If you've been called out about your lack of leadership in your marriage and in your family, you start leading. But see, we laugh about this thing, well, you know, won't do as bad. That's how we've been thinking, that's how we've been acting. It's a 180, it's not like 90 or 120, well, you know, I'm kind of doing better. Just stop and start doing. You know, Jesus, so John the Baptist was telling them, hey, don't say to yourself, fathers, you're Abraham. Take away your little security blanket. Jesus was dealing with it. We read about it in John chapter 8, 31 through 35. He said, if you hold to my teachings, then you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they're like, what are you talking about? We're Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anybody. And he says, if you sin, you are a slave to sin. In Galatians 5, verse 24, it says, those who belong to Christ have crucified their sinful nature with its passions and desires. You know, repentance is not this fluffy, easy thing. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be comfortable. But that's okay. That doesn't mean, well, that's kind of rough, so I can't really do that anymore. Just make up your mind that you will change. Repentance is a decision that you want freedom more than you want bondage. Stop being a slave. Stop thinking that you're free when you're not repenting. Because you're not free. You're a slave. You know, talking about me, some of these classes, I really saw how little I led my wife. You know, I would just come home. I was tired. I was out all day walking around. I would just want to come home and do nothing. And so that's what I did. I just sat on the couch. I would get on my computer. I would watch some TV. And I'm just like, oh, this feels great. And meanwhile, my wife, Roxanne, is running around doing all this stuff, cleaning and cooking and doing all this stuff. But I was like, in my mind, I was like, no, I deserve this rest. I deserve this. And when they talked about our role as a husband and as a leader, I was like, I have to change this. I'm not leading by example. My wife looks at me and she's like, man, I wish this guy would start doing something. You know, and so what I decided to do, I was like, if my wife is up, I will be up. If she's cleaning, I'm going to clean. If she's doing something, I'm going to do something. I was like, I will be the hardest worker in my house. And that's what I decided to do. I was just a lousy husband. I was lazy. And so I changed. I repented. You know, I was 6 months ago, this was not my mindset. 6 months ago was, this is my house. This is where I deserve to have some time to myself and just relax. Now it's like, no, no, no. That's where the real work begins. That's where my job starts, is when I step into that door. When I'm with my wife, that's when I'm really working. That's how our mindset needs to be. So I want to talk about some of the classes. I know we had about 45 minutes of recap, but hey, we'll get a recap of the recap. You know, we talked about purity and modesty. What's going on with that? Marriage and the roles of husbands and wives. Money and materialism. Parenting. Who is saved and who isn't. Men's and women's roles. And diversity. Those were some of the really highlights for me. That's why I'm talking about these. But why did the elders choose these topics? Think about it. Why did they choose these? Why men's roles? Why women's role? Why marriage? Is because this is what they saw in us. The lack of what the Bible teaches in our lives. That's why they taught us. That's what the last 15 weeks have been about. Guys, this is what we see in your life. We should be, this isn't the case, but the doors of the elders should have wear marks on them. Because all of us are knocking on the doors. Help me. You saw this in my life. How do I change this? Help me. We should be calling them all the time. But that is not what has been happening. We've been saying, well, Abraham is my father. Abraham's my father. I'm good. Guys, we need to be just bugging the elders for help. We need to be asking them and begging them. Teach me, help me. How do I be a husband? How do I be a dad? How do I be a wife? How do I work hard? How do I change these things? How do I be pure? We need to have repentance. We need to have alarm. We need to have concern. We need to have indignation. So we've had months of classes. Where is the change? Where is the change? Stop making excuses and make a change today. You know, I want to be a man where I'm quicker of changing than I'm quicker of making excuses. That's one of the first things that want to come to my mind. Not an excuse, but man, how can I change this? That's how we all need to be. Go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3. This is where we'll close out. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts and mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. You know, the answer of how do you repent is you must look to God. This is the only way that you and I are going to repent. You know, we're too stubborn. We're too selfish, we're too comfortable to change. But when we look at our God and we focus on him and all that he has done and all that he is, it will change us. When our eyes and our mind and our heart are set on God, we will change. We will be different. Repentance means that you love God more than you love your sin. You know, if you find yourself that you're giving up God and going after sin more, that's a big problem. It should be that you're giving up your sin so that you can have God. Because you cannot have both. It is impossible. So the question is, where have you changed? How quickly do you repent? How is your personal evangelism going? How are the topics that have been covered? How is that stuff going? If you've missed classes and you haven't listened to them, listen to them. If you listen to the class, you're like, you know what, I haven't changed that. Re-listen to the class and ask the elders. Ask those around you. Help me. How do I change this? What fruit do you have? Is there fruit on your tree of life? Is there repentance? Is it evident in your life? Do those around you see, you know what, they've made a lot of changes. They're different than what they used to be. Your coworkers, do they see a difference in you? Your family, do they see a difference? There's your spouse, your coworkers, your friends. Is your growth evident to them? Can they say, this is what they've grown in? This is what they've grown in. You know, I want to give you guys some practicals. Pray and fast for God to change your heart. If you're sitting there and like, you know what? You're right. I have not made that many changes. Pray and fast that God will change your heart. Another thing, ask your spouse what you need to repent of. That's a scary question because they know. Ask them, what do I need to repent of? Ask your close friends what they see in your character. Just be open. Be vulnerable. If you have older kids, ask them. If my parents did that to me, that would blow my mind. Ask your kids what they see. They see it. They know what's going on. Study out the topic in your Bible. If it's impurity, study it out. Not only studying out impurity, but study out what it is to be pure. If it's pride, study out what pride is and how to be humble. Because the Word of God is the thing that will change our hearts. This is the only thing. Me talking to you, the elders talking to you, Richard talking to you, it's not going to change a thing if you're not studying it out in your Bible. The point of me talking about this is to get you thinking, to get you into your Bible so that change will happen, so that your mind and heart are focused and set on God, that is where your foundation is. That is what you stand on. That is your rock. That is your base. So study it out in your Word. When we do this, we will produce fruit. We will be different. We will have godly sorrow. We will be indignant about our sin, and we will live in repentance. Amen.
God, thank you so much for tonight, today, God, as we were being challenged and being confronted by our sins, oh God. As we were challenged by repentance, God, I know there's so much I need to repent of. I know one of the things I know I have to work on, God, is being the leader of my household and really wash my wife every day with your words, God. Thank you so much, God, for us being challenged. And I pray, God, that you would help us to change, to be quickly to repent, God, quickly to want to not just go away from what we're doing, but to change radically, God. Please be with us this week. Bless us, encourage us. Thank you so much for all the things that we do, God. Forgive us for our sin. We pray this, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.